Hi, Craig, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Excellent, thank you. We're not ready to start the meeting quite yet, but just want to make sure we were.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Have that red light off?
I don't know.
I think now it's probably now. Plus, hit the plus volume. Is the red light off? Oh, it sounds like it's working.
Should
now.
be working.
The red light was on, so that might have been muted.
Is he there? Or?
We're both muted. Here, Lisa. It's Vicki Smith.
Well,
oh, it's Lori.
If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I can still hear him. Well.
I've got in trouble too.
I'm trying to. Show what my screen. I don't see a shift in my screen. Well, you need to go back to school, get a degree in IT. Nobody wants to say it, but too.
You got a pen? Guess you can borrow mine.
Thanks for participating in the assessor part of this meeting.
You need wider things for the email addresses.
I thought I'd.
Especially for my name.
I walked down here. I have the surface of the cold air.
It is
actually warm.
Oh, a long time. I was wondering how many people got to see that change in the room.
Oh,
should hang out for the one after.
Hello, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
I thought I was down.
Three items. I can go over there and make this here. Well, if you want to.
Yeah.
Do you think you're home?
Well,
not my personal one, but I have another one. So.
Yeah, upstairs.
Thank you.
This is your purple jacket, not your purple pants?
Yes. It's close. And my purple.
And your purple phone.
I don't like purple.
Is purple before the red happened? Is that what it is?
No, we have this.
Before the what?
I'm trying to answer that question, so I guess I will.
Put yes. Put yes and welcome.
Purple's before.
Yes. Put yes and welcome. All right. Okay.
What do you answer?
Yeah, I
used to say no.
No?
What? I'm gonna have to raise your mic right
there. For both. You got more than one.
Questions in the township email, but I didn't. If you send anything else, that should tell us.
If who does?
Whatever this, if you send stuff out.
I'll send my thank you.
You're welcome. No. Is it on?
Sad is it? I have to look up my own phone number.
You know how to get there, right?
I do.
So white Jordan stuff is very different than us. Do white movies different than a sharing it with
morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, everyone.
This is hilarious. They're terrified.
You don't want to be the owl.
It's like when you go in the classroom and you have to sit in the back row. Cancel.
Who has this? Who's collecting information? Your question is, I rent my home. Do you mean, do I have a rental?
Everyone's a homeowner, right? Uh-huh. Some people rent the home, some people don't rent the home.
Okay, what if I have two homes?
Just
two houses.
One is enough.
So I do not rent my home. I do have a business.
Then if you have a short-term rental, check both.
No? Got it.
Hey,
the cool sweater guy. This is hilarious.
Do you want us all to come sit up there with you?
I think it's hysterical. I just think it's funny because
we don't know how many
people are coming. Exactly. We're going to
have to put the tables. I guess we're going to talk to you.
Make you sit.
I'm better than the TV. I can see.
Oh, yeah. I think I'll find this part of the spectacle.
Yeah, maybe I will. I have a question for you, Lori.
Okay.
Alrighty. So
I have an answer.
We have, I believe, 10 participants in the room, and online we have 5. And so what we're going to do is kick it off with a few comments, and then we're just going to turn it over. I also have 2 emails that were sent. I have one that I'll be reading to you as well, just to participate in the process here. The first thing that I want to share with you is this is just a listening session. This is not anything more than just listening to what your thoughts and ideas are on short-term rentals. Neither board has made any decisions about anything, but it is a topic that we should be discussing. So I want to make that clear because I think there might be some frustration at times because you might ask us a question and we're really not going to answer your questions. We just need to gather what your ideas are, what your concerns are, the things you like, the things you don't like about it, that kind of thing. So that's the first thing. Now, to set a couple of ground rules, I'd really like for you to please turn off your cell phones so that we aren't disrupted in the middle of anything. The other one would be to please make sure that you fill in the sign-in sheet. And finally, this is being recorded. It's just simply so that we can refer back if we've missed any of the comments or anything. But you need to know, everybody online and in the room needs to know, if this is being recorded. Right? So we can go ahead and just open up the floor if somebody online wants to speak or somebody in the room wants to speak about what your thoughts are on short-term rentals on the island. We'd love to hear. So let's go ahead and start with online, actually. Can somebody unmute your microphone and talk to us about what your thoughts are on short-term rentals? Please introduce yourself, whether you're in the room or online. Please say your name first so everybody knows who's speaking.
Hey, this is Vince Ebersold. I own Deerwood. I just would like, as we start, some clarification for those of us coming in late, what you really mean by short-term rental housing. Do you mean for like how I rent out Deerwood during the summer, or do you mean for seasonal laborers or what? So just so we understand that our glossary of definitions is identical and everybody's on the same page. Thank you.
Yeah, sure, no problem. Yes, short-term rentals would be homeowners on the island who rent their homes seasonally to visitors or tourist guests. It is not about the lack of housing on the island. That's a different topic, and there are groups of people who are researching and working on that. Okay, did that answer your question, Vince?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. So let's go back to online then. Do we have any comments or questions about short-term rentals on Beaver Island?
Hi, my name is Don Bailey.
Hi, Don.
Hi, I'm actually just curious. So I came in a little bit late as well, and I wasn't sure based on the online information that I found about this group meeting. Like what is it? What exactly are you concerned about in relation to short-term rentals? Is this just like a general question and answer session? Like what is the context for this meeting?
So this is not a question and answer because the boards haven't made any decisions about anything, so we can't answer any questions. But what the topic is very active on the island. To be honest with you, I don't think I even knew which key opened my office door before I had people talking to me about it this past April. So what the premise and the purpose of this is to have an open discussion with the community of people who may rent their homes out for short-term rentals to vacationers or people who don't and are just community members who are here either seasonally or in the summer only. There are a lot of conversations around it, and it might be better if I start by reading a letter from a short-term rental owner, and that would give some context as to what. So I have a letter here from Anita Morrow, and I'm going to read this to you to give you an idea of what we're looking for. She said, I might not be able to attend the public sessions tomorrow due to work, so I wanted to share with you our experience using our house as a short-term rental. In summary, we rented our home for most of July and August in 2022 and 2023, and we are no longer going to use our home as a short-term rental. Our home rented for a minimum of $2,950 per week and up to $3,450 per week if there were dogs. Along with the management company rules, the renters were asked to follow house rules, which included a fire pit ban, especially during the island-wide fire ban, being mindful of water usage, no fireworks, absolutely no smoking, being mindful of noise at night so not to disturb neighbors, and rules of the road for Bonner's Landing, no passing on the hill, right-of-way rules, etc. These house rules were printed out and framed on the kitchen island so they cannot be missed. In addition, we buried our fire pit with sand and stones to further discourage its use. In 2022, we had no issues with the renters other than hearing from neighbors that some of the renters ignored the rules while driving on the hill. We gave renting our house one more shot for most of July and August this past summer. Unfortunately, the situation got worse. When we arrived late July, we found that the fire pit had been unburied by one of the renters and certain precautions were not taken, such as making sure there was no brush or weeds around the pit that could catch fire and spread. We ended up having to dig out the fire, put in a proper lining in place, and filling a hand pump with water to make sure that the fire pit would be safe to use, since it was obvious the renters were not going to follow the rule to not use it. There were still complaints from neighbors about renters not following the rules on the hill. Some of our stain resistant cushions had mysterious stains that would not come out even with bleach. They had broken tile in our bathroom. I had to call the house to speak to a renter because I got an alert on my phone that the fire alarm went off in the main bedroom. Everything was fine, but you can only imagine how I felt getting the alert. Aside from normal wear and tear, the pots and pans that were new as of 2021 were disgusting by our return at the end of August, and it took me 2 evenings to get them back to usable condition. And we could sense there was strain on our well and septic, the well being new as of 2023 and the septic as of 2020. We also heard from the management company that one of the renters trashed the house and it took extra long for cleaning crew to clean up the house so it could be used by the next occupant. We told the management company that because of the trend of quality of renters was getting worse and not better, we did not feel that it was worth it to rent the house anymore beginning with the 2024 season. Well, I'm sure that not everyone had the same experience as us last year. The reality is that unless you know your renters, it's really hard to screen for the quote unquote bad eggs. We thought the weekly rental amount would do it, but clearly it wasn't enough. Bottom line, if folks are not willing to respect our home, our neighbors, or our island, we are no longer willing to rent out our home. And that's just an example of a response that we've received. So in this particular email, I can tell you there's concern about fire. There's concern about septic use. There's concern about water use. There's concern about respecting the roads and the sensitivity to the roads. So these are the types of things that I'm taking from this and documenting it in the data. The actual information that says, okay, here are 4 concerns from somebody who rented a house. We need to make sure that we're looking at how we're managing those. Right? Okay.
Craig Scrotemore. I own a place on Lake Genesareth. And one, I want to thank you for opening this up just for conversation. My interest stems from, we don't rent our cottage, but we, in the recent years with kind of the increase in people buying homes, it seems that at least around us, the majority of the homes sold were sold to people who bought them to rent and don't live on the island. And we have experienced a number of the issues that were mentioned in the letter. And so we're just concerned that and feel that we should do some type of management or ordinance or set some parameters for rentals. And these are some of my concerns. One, for tourist safe accommodations. I've talked to a number of people who have come and rented and smoke alarms weren't active. I'd like to see street address signs available. Where we are the people who own one of the units next to us has not put up any identification for how to find their place. And we have numerous situations where people drive into our driveway and ask us where this rental unit is. I also think that's unsafe in the case of an emergency, that if the fire department has to find the location, et cetera. Also, we had an issue on Hemlock Point where our place is that one of the renters, ignoring the fire ban, started the garage unit of the rental unit on fire. But they were able to put it out. The fire department wasn't aware of it. We did make some members of the fire department aware of it, and they were very concerned. I think that also there's the issue around septic tanks. In septic systems. I know that there's 2 units on Hemlock Point that advertise the ability to rent units that exceed the capacity of the septic system that was installed when the units were built. And I'm just concerned for inland lakes. I'm concerned for our water table that this, you know, malfunctioning septic system can seep into the lake and create a number of issues, but also can creep into the water table. And since many folks on Beaver Island use septic systems, it was interesting to me to find that in a study done in Michigan around septic systems, that they found that over a third of the septic systems were not functioning properly and were leaking human waste into lakes, streams, and into water tables. I think there needs to be some management there that manages, you know, the maximum occupancy of units. Also, the state of Michigan is the only state in the United States that does not have a statewide septic system requirement. But there are two bills currently in the House, Bill 4479 and 4480. Which are looking at creating a statewide requirement for management systems appropriately. I think also there's a frustration that comes up for addressing nuisance issues with a number of these owners of short-term rentals not living on the island. If there is a problem, the renters do not know who to call, and individuals who live around the rental units, there's no recourse, or they do not get a call back from the owner when there are violations similar to the ones mentioned in the letter. There's a number of environmental issues. You heard a couple of them as far as the dunes and the beach, but again, there's issues of the septic system and potential invasive species, clean water, also compliance with township ordinances regarding noise, regarding fireworks, required burning. And so I just feel that, you know, with the increase in the number of short-term rentals that have occurred in the last couple of years, that it is time for the township to take a look at providing some boundaries, some requirements for the owners of the short-term rentals and to protect the safety and the neighborhoods and the nature of those who do not rent out their units.
Thank you, Craig.
Ed asked if he could speak.
Yeah, Ed Wojan has joined us, and he has a busy schedule this afternoon with some people coming in, and has asked if he could share some information.
I'm sorry, I'm hard of hearing. I should have hearing aids. I didn't quite hear what you said, but in response to Craig's comments and the letter you read, I agree that there are occasionally renters who are terrible. At one point, my office had 29 Lake Michigan cottages that we managed and rented out. And in a season, we might get one or two families that would kind of crash a place, but it was very unusual. The majority of the renters are respectful of the property. And you cannot point to just the extreme ones that are very, very few compared to all of the other families that come here and occupy cottages for a week or two and treat them properly. I will tell you that we used to have several different rental agencies on the island. Beaver Island Realty and Rich and Laura Gillespie were running one, and I was. And once in a while, we'd get a family that would do things that were wrong. And we didn't want them back again, so we kept a list of people that we shared. That was essentially a blacklist. We don't have anything when they go. and it was sort of controlled that way. The island has grown a lot since then, and yes, I think there is some need for some control. But I will tell you that on the mainland, there have been many attempts from Traverse City to Mackinac City to control short-term rentals, and it's always been extremely controversial and very, very difficult. I think there should be some mechanism that homes are certified and okay for rent, including checking the well and septic. I talked to Mike Jones here a week ago about wells and septics, and I asked if there was any possibility of a well being contaminated by a septic system, and he said it's highly, highly unlikely if the well is installed 50 feet away from the septic field. And also that the septic field is checked occasionally, but all you need to do is check the sludge levels. In 48 years of selling properties and seeing inspections of septic tanks, I've only seen two. And in all of those years, that where the sludge got up to the discharge pipe of the septic field. And that's what ruins the septic field. But that sludge, if it does happen, which is highly unusual, anything over 18 inches is not a concern. When you get up to 48 inches, it is, but very rarely does that ever happen. I think Vicki and I sold in an 18-month period in 2020 and 21, 70 houses. I think we had two septic systems that really needed to be pumped, but they were far from being up to where sludge would be discharged into the drain field. And the well is supposed to be a minimum of 25 feet deep. And so the possibility of field discharge going 25 feet deep is ridiculous. The health department says that if you could tunnel underneath 7 feet under a septic system, the water filtering down through 6 feet of permeable soil, you can hold a cup up to it, let it drip into the cup, and you can drink that water. It's purified after 6 feet of permeable soil. But getting back to the rentals, rentals is the lifeblood of Beaver Island. It has been, and it's been part of our master plan for a long time, since the beginning of zoning on the island. And I could go into details on that, but I won't right now. I will just say that we have to have a system to make sure that owners who are renting have had the house examined and everything about it is okay, but not try to restrict rentals. Because there is no economic driver on this island that is more than rentals. Not even construction and the employment of employees in construction come close to the business that's provided in this island and its residents for businesses and workers than rentals. They have to be preserved and encouraged, but controlled. And the big question is, how do you do that control? Maybe by licensing, which means the house at least has to be inspected. But to try to hinder rentals would be devastating to a lot of people. Most of the people coming to Beaver Island are not dot-com billionaires. They're middle-class people that don't have a lot of money. It's just that way here. 90% of them are, maybe 95%. They need to rent that house in order to pay their insurance and property taxes. The insurance now is going sky high. It's doubled in the last 4 years, casualty insurance, and it's going to go higher. Property taxes are not getting any lower on Beaver Island. They're becoming a burden. People that are buying houses here can't buy them unless they rent them. And it is the main driving economic engine of this island. So we have to encourage and increase rentals, not try to prohibit them or in any way cut them back, just control them.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you. The one comment that I would make, and I feel like I can confidently say this, is both boards recognize that it is absolutely critical to have short-term rentals on this island. That is not in question. And I can say that. That's the one thing I can say confidently. Yes, but thank you for your input. Pam Grassman.
Thank you. Good morning. I just want to comment on the short-term rentals that, you know, basically the state of Michigan has classified them as business. So we're all taxpayers, whether it's a rental, and I think we all agree we don't have enough beds, and so rentals are important. But some people view this as an investment because it is a business. And these people who rent their places out actually get to write off their improvements, whether they're putting on a new roof, whether they're doing anything to the house. So that's one of their, benefits, is that where I'm a taxpayer and I don't rent out my house, I really can't write things off. I also have had relatives who have rented here and have had no smoke detectors in the place, wires hanging from there. There have been basements in interior rooms that have no egress to the outside. There are no instructions about emergencies. I think it's very important for people to understand that we have a lag on our phone system if you dial 911. We had an unfortunate situation in a house where the woman didn't understand that and kept pushing 911 and hanging up and pushing 911 and hanging up. I do think that what Craig was talking about, the septics, we do need to get a handle on that because of the occupancy. There are people who, I had a neighbor of mine tell me she was planning on renting her house out because she could put 18 people in there. Well, the house was never meant for 18 people, but if you can keep enough futons going, I suppose you can. And then I know Ed had mentioned the water testing, and although we haven't really had a problem with our water wells, we don't have them tested nearly enough, so it's hard to tell whether or not we could possibly have a contamination. Also, I think it's vital that we have someone locally either managing these places or as a contact. I think somebody in Texas or California that has bought a house, that's not close enough for people to call, and then people don't know who to call. So you need to have someone locally to deal with issues. We've had people with fires during the fire ban, having fires. And then lastly, there, some of these places are dirty. I had a couple from Ann Arbor come for 3 days, and they told me that they were leaving because they didn't come here to clean a house for 3 days. So I think it's a poor reflection on our island when these occurrences happen. And so I'm just saying that at some point we do need to have an ordinance that helps give guidance to these new property owners that are using their homes as an investment.
Hey, this is Pat Riley. I'm online, and I do want to talk about that investment piece because there's two types of investments. There's the strictly financial one, which I think you're referring to, but there's also the investment in my family's future. I recently, about a year ago, purchased a house up on Beaver Island, and we do rent it out in a short-term setting for the short term of our lives because our intention is to come up there. Our intention is to move there. However, the reality is we can't. We have jobs that we can't necessarily extradite ourselves in right now, but this is a way for us to bridge that gap. So when you guys talk about investment, my investment is the long-term strategy of the island, but it's not, we all care about these things, and we do make sure that our houses have set up for smoke detectors, and we do take those steps. I think you all are, sometimes we feel like we're focusing just on the negative when there are a lot of people that we want that positive experience because we love Beaver Island just as much as everybody, and we can't wait to get up there and enjoy it year round, just like the folks that are lucky enough to live there right now. So there's a lot of emotion in this from both sides, but I think we need to really look at, we can't necessarily just punish the short-term rentals because there's a few bad apples. I think policing it is a good idea. And also, not that I like to flaunt the John Law idea, but if there are fire bans on the island and you see these things happening, why aren't we calling and having the police come out and check on those? And then let us know that our renters are doing those things, because we do keep a blacklist. We had one renter last year that we were not happy with how they treated the house in the island, and we did put down that note, and we are not going to rent to them again. So I think we can work this together, but let's try not to just blame everyone that owns a short-term rental in this discussion.
Pat, I appreciate that, and I see where you're going. That this has kicked off with like the concerns, smoke detectors, septic, and so forth, but there is a different side to it. And that's those people who haven't had the issues, such as yourself, are in a different position. And that's what this is about. Just so you're aware that this is a fluid conversation, and it goes back and forth. We're not just going to focus on one area, because like I said, the officials who are here listening have a lot of listening to do. So I have one comment I'd like to make, Ed. I'd really like to see the one thing that I'm really need to have is I need to have data. And I need to have information. And one of the things that you had mentioned was in there have been many attempts to control from Mackinac to Traverse City that have failed. If you can, in all of your spare time, in the busiest January and February you've ever had, send me those articles or links to those. Or I would really like to see those. Okay, it's really important to have that information. And
I will say it's a much more difficult problem on the mainland. I've learned from a lot of brokers and business people that on Torch Lake and other places, the raucous use of homes and boats on the lake has been a humongous problem for them over there that we do not seem to have here. People that come out to Beaver Island come out here because it has what I call a lot of nothing. They come here because they are nature lovers and they love the beauty of the place and that it is laid back and not developed. And for the most part, most of our renters are really quite good. However, it's a problem of management too. There's one particular rental management firm here that I think is out of business now, essentially, from what I've heard. But we know the houses were not being cleaned properly at all. I had friends and clients that came to us and said, you got to find us another place to stay. We're not going into that place. It's dirty. And that's a problem. There has to be real good management of homes where they're well cleaned and there's not just two employees that are trying to clean 35 houses on Saturday and Sunday. You need a crew or you shouldn't be renting.
Thank you, Ed. I put you up there as scene two when we started the talk again. If you have about two more scenes, we'll make a movie out of it.
I'm sorry. I'm not
here. I said I put you up here as scene two.
Oh.
Yeah, scene three and four. We'll make it into a movie.
All right. I'm sorry. By the way, I don't know what the state of Michigan says about short-term rentals, but the Michigan courts have consistently ruled that it is not a commercial use of the property. It's a residential use of the property. That should be looked into.
Okay. That's definitely something that needs to be investigated. Thank you. All right, so let's go back to online. We are looking for anybody. I see we have Don, you've already spoken. You ask a question. Craig has shared his input. Ron, Sarah, Patrick, Vincent, Shelby.
Hi, yes, this is Sarah Siller. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Sarah. Can everybody hear Sarah? Okay, yep, go ahead.
I just want to say, so I came on board, I was not planning on speaking. I just wanted to learn, gather information, get different point of views. My husband and I own Island Property Services. That is a new property management company on the island. And this conversation is definitely going in a different direction than I originally thought it would. So my verbiage might be off, so I'm not prepared. But I'm sitting here smiling, actually, because I'm very happy to hear how many people are concerned about safety of the homes, being courteous and kind to neighbors, and, you know, showing respect and love for the island. Something that my husband and I are doing is we are very particular with the homes that we bring on board. First and foremost, we do a property evaluation before we agree to onboard clients. This is the very first meeting I've ever joined, so I was unaware of how many individuals were interested in, and I know that sounds silly, but interested in the safety and the overall quality of the home and the environment around. So we cannot call it a property we can't call it a property inspection because we are not licensed to inspect homes. My husband is very talented. We built our home from the ground up while living off the grid on the island. And I was in the service industry. I manage 200 homes every 20 business days. So being in people's homes and dealing with clients is something that I'm passionate about and love. With that said, first and foremost, we do property evaluations. A few clients hit us with a side eye with this, and I didn't realize this wasn't something that was implemented or offered. So what we do is we go into the home and we create two lists. We create a list of necessities that need to be done, and then we create a list of optionals. The optionals are things that can improve your home, increase your price range and profit, and things like that. So what we look for is open wires, up-to-date smoke detectors, proper fire pits are huge for us. We live on the island full time. We have 5 children total. I am all about safety and protecting my clients' homes, investments, and the island itself. So I am actually all for, I wrote down green signs with addresses. I wrote down fire ban along with my whole list. I felt like I was a little over the top. Some homeowners are loving these property evaluations and they're like, we wish we saw this before. And some homeowners are not interested whatsoever. The homeowners that are not interested in updating the safety of their home and the island, we're not interested in working with. So I'm loving all of this information. And again, I didn't expect this. And I'm actually really thankful to be joining this meeting and hearing your guys' point of view, because I kind of felt like maybe we're overstepping. You know, these are their homes and we don't own these homes. So, you know, you walk into somebody's home, here they are to hire you for your service, and you're handing them a list they've got to do. So it can be a little bit uncomfortable, but to protect our company, to protect ourselves, protect our guests, keep them reoccurring. For instance, I have a client, he's been phenomenal to work with. I'm so thankful for him. He had a major safety issue with his home. I mean, this was I don't want to list exactly what it is. My husband is very handy. He found it right away, and he'll be taking care of it. You know, and their home is quite further south on the island. So again, with that 911 delay, I could only imagine how heavy that would sit on me, how heavy it would sit on the paramedics, the EMTs, the firefighters, you know, the sheriffs, if something was to happen. So I just want to let everyone know that we do a very thorough property evaluation. And at any point in time that you guys feel like there's something that we need to know, or we need to implement, or make sure our guests are aware of, I am 100% on board with that. And you guys can email me and contact me and let me know. I have absolutely no problem, you know, with construction of criticism and properly communicating. I definitely believe having a hold on the property management and making sure we're respecting the island, making sure that we're respecting nature and all of the people around us is first and foremost. And I completely agree that the vacation rental industry on the island is the bread and butter of the island. And conversations like this are so important. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to come on and listen and speak. And I hope what I had to say, you know, makes a few of you a little bit more comfortable. And if you ever, again, want to contact me with things that you think I should know moving forward, I would really appreciate that.
Thank you, Sarah. If just in case people might drop off online, when everyone came into the room, they filled out a sheet that gave their name, their email, telephone number, and asked for their address as well. And if you're a property owner who doesn't rent or a property owner who does rent. So I'd really appreciate it if everybody else online, if you can go to the comments and provide us with that information, or you can email me directly. If you don't want to speak here today for some reason, you can also email me at pingtownship@gmail.com. Any comments that you'd like to make. So I'm going to check the time. We're at 9:36. All right. And let's head back to the room. Comments in the room. Scene three.
I would just like to comment on Sarah Siller. I've had long talks with her. I thought that they were getting into the rental business and wondered how they do it without having a real estate license. But she explained that they are not renting houses. They are just checking houses, managing them, seeing to it that things are right with them for owners to rent them. And it's hard to find good rental management firms on the island or enough people to manage all the rentals that are available. And their firm is talking about just helping owners make sure that the houses are checked before rentals, after rentals, and that they do things that need to be done to the home as a home management service, not necessarily a rental. The owners will be doing their own collection of funds and renting, but they'd be taking care of the home. And we need more firms like the Sillers here doing that. I think it's very good.
Thank you.
Kevin had something to say.
Kevin.
Kevin Stitt. We have a rental up here, short-term rental. We use an online rental management system. We've had very few problems. But in 6 years, a lot of the comments seem directed more at tourist problems rather than rental problems. That there is, and there always will be, the bad apples. I think most of the people that come here are respectful of the island, but our home that we live in on the east side, we've had 4 quads and everything else going up and down the beach where they're not supposed to be, and you say something. And I don't know what to do about that. That had really nothing to do with short-term rental per se, other than we got people coming here visiting. We need people to come here and visit. And to Ed's point, that's arguably our commercial business here. So we live here. We have a different take on it. We have eyes on our property. We don't want our property destroyed. We make sure it's super clean. You step in because
anybody can come in and look at our property. It's spotless. I touch every surface 3 times in between people. I mean, it's clean. We have smoke detectors, and I would be embarrassed to have anything less than what it is. We've had minimal problems with renters, and maybe it's who we have. The other thing is, we do use VRBO, so there's a ranking system. We can go in and rate them or choose to never have them back. And they can rate us as well. And I think we've got 5 stars. I mean, we've never had a problem. The only problem we did have was with somebody who didn't rent through VRBO. So I don't know if that type of a system helps us have more quality people. We also only can have 4 people in there at a time. So we don't have 18, 16 people on the property. And we need to rent that in order to offset the taxes and insurance on the building so I can keep the gallery open. So I mean, it's not a huge investment for us, it's a break even for us. And it's a lot of work to keep it going and clean and good and maintenance and all that, but it allows us to do what we need to do. And I wouldn't call it a huge profit making invention.
Great. Okay. Anybody else in the room?
So,
I need your name.
Dave Lawlett.
Thank you, Dave.
So I own a rental property on the island. Uh-huh. Also live on the island, two separate properties. But what's occurred to me, just listening, is that there's a very wide diversity of rental properties. There's folks that use some of the national firms, like I do as well, Airbnb and VRBO. And those come with a high level of accountability that was just articulated. But it also comes with protection for both the renter and the rentee. That isn't to say that those are the only available options. Local rental companies can do that as well. As I think it was Ed that just mentioned, as long as you have the right licensing to do those things, that adds a level of accountability. But, you know, the diversity goes all the way down to completely, I would say, unmanaged. I shouldn't say unmanaged properties. That's not right. I should say individually managed properties that don't use a broker or don't use that type of assistance. And I guess what's occurred to me is it isn't right to put all of those properties under one umbrella because there's a diversity amongst the rental market that's going on. And as we've heard people, some people are thinking of one aspect of that market. Other people are thinking of a different aspect of the market, and they don't match. And that's why. Some of the comments I thought were really good were around safety, whether it's occupancy rules, smoke detectors, or even fire ordinances. Across all of those items, though, there's already ordinances in place to have a proper rental, whether it's occupancy, and that's something that I have to be accountable for my rental broker, which would be Airbnb and VRBO. They have those expectations of me, as does my insurance company. And the island has ordinances already in fire, which is something I think all of us are concerned about, is fire on the island. So my point of going down that road is I don't know that more ordinances help anything. They're already in place.
So would you have, I'm just curious, what would you, the issues that have been brought up, do you have an idea you'd like to share that would, how do you say that if there's a fire ordinance in place and people are having fires, what would you think would be a resolution?
Well, if someone breaks the law anywhere, then there's a recourse for breaking the law. Whether it's speeding on the road, unsafe driving, or having a fire when you're not supposed to. As other renters have commented, we go to lengths to make sure that folks know exactly what the fire ratings are. We feel that is our responsibility to communicate that to people that might not otherwise know it. But
so you're just saying enforcement.
I would say no more new ordinances. They're already in place. They're already there.
Just a second, I'll be right with you. I can't type quite as fast as he talked.
That's okay.
Okay, Angel.
I am Angel Welke. I think this has been one of the best discussions that's happened on the island in a long time. And I think we've hit on some themes. The ordinances are in place. They're not being communicated well. I think everything we've talked about today goes back to communication. From the townships, from the chamber, to our homeowners, to our rental homeowners, to our visitors. Could it really be so simple that we need a really aggressive campaign, communication campaign, to say we have a fireworks ordinance, we have a quiet, we have a noise ordinance. Here are septic rules. I think the things that are, I have a feeling everyone in this room would agree that a two-bedroom, two-bathroom house on Weaver Island built in 1920 does not sleep 18 people. It does not sleep 18 people. You cannot have 5 tents in the yard and count it good. You can't have 7 futons in the basement with no egress. How do we do that? I think we could probably figure it out in this room that I don't know that we need new ordinances. I think it's interesting the way you said it about Airbnb and VRBO. They're part of your ordinance. Mm-hmm. They are part of your organization. We need that organization all of the rental homeowners who don't use Airbnb and VRBO. It's not new ordinances, it's that sort of level of accountability. And some things that have come up have to do with enforcement. I think everyone needs to know there is enforcement available. If you shoot fireworks during a fireworks ban, that's a problem. And it's going to put some pressure on our local deputies. And I think that's something that we've all been very considerate of. But I have a feeling with communication program, get it out there. Here are the ordinances. Don't blow them. Don't blow through them. Don't ignore them. You know, just because we're on Beaver Island, we're not the lawless Beaver Island of days past. We can hit the 21st century, and we can still, I don't want to penalize, I would say 98% of our rental homeowners are doing it the right way. They're doing what you folks are doing. You're doing Airbnb and VRBO, and you're being kind, and you're saying, we love this place too. We live here. This is important for us, for future generations, all of that. The 20 of us in this room and the 15 on Zoom would not have shown up on a February Tuesday morning if we didn't love this place. Everyone needs to feel that from us, and we need to communicate it. I think the biggies that have come out of this are septic issues, safety issues, and something that's been said three times, and I think the only clear answer I've had is from you, insurance is required from Airbnb and VRBO. Who is insuring the two-bedroom, two-bathroom, 1920 cabin that sleeps 18? No one is going to insure that. They're not. Those are the things. I don't think it's new ordinances. I think it's VRBO, Airbnb-type structure for everyone who's not using those. I don't think we need to be $7 gazillion to do this. But I think there has to be some accountability. But I think it could start with a communication campaign. You know, the zoning and planning people in this room, we have talked over and over and over about how do we communicate about ATVs and RTVs and the problems we're having. We all got together with the chamber to do a communication education program. Can we do the same thing on rental homes? Would that be our big first step without bringing the hammer down with huge zoning revamp? Could we really come together and say, these are the expectations on Beaver Island to be a rental homeowner, to be a rental homeowner, home user. You're gonna be a visitor, these are the basic expectations. We do have deputies, we do have enforcement. Maybe that's the reminder we need to get out there in every rental home. With that, does that sound like a first step? Because we can talk about this a lot.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to make any decisions today. No. I don't mean that to be disrespectful.
I would love to have some action steps in the backs of our minds that these discussions are incredible, but sometimes we can get in a room and discuss. The season's knocking on the door. We're all booking for the summer already. We've all identified some really scary problems, and we are on track to have one of the driest years in island history. So we need to start thinking about fire danger already.
You'd like to see a rapid turnaround of the data and the information to see possibly what direction the boards would like to head.
Absolutely, okay. And I think, well, we're going down the path of gathering more data and getting more input. We already have a lot of it done. There are some ordinances in place. There are some state rules and regs. There's some health department things. Is it perfect? No. It's spread all over the place. But I think there's some structure we could bring in and get some education ready for summer 2024.
All right. Thank you, Angel. Deb, feel free to have scene two. Is there anybody else? Anybody else in the room? Right now, okay, we'll go back to online. We have more people who have joined. We have Kaylee, we have Greg, Josh, Mitch's phone. Mitch's phone has joined. I don't know if Mitch has actually joined. anybody online that would like to share?
Yeah, this is Greg Larson. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Greg.
I just have two comments, and they're probably outliers, so I apologize ahead of time. One, I'm an architect, and the building code and enforcement of Airbnbs and that type of thing, or of short-term rentals, is not super clear and is open to interpretation by local jurisdictions, in my experience. So that one's a little trickier to navigate. I appreciate all the safety issues that people are bringing up about rental units, but I think it's optimally for Beaver Island, it'd be great if they said, hey, residents, you have your right to rent that, and that's the legal interpretation. But I've worked in jurisdictions where certain code officials have tried to call, you know, short-term rentals hotels, for example, and ask for sprinkler systems and accessibility. So just as a heads up. And the second one is, it's more of it's a global issue for the island, and it's the effect that short-term rentals have on long-term rental market and the housing market and affordability. And I think that is an issue for the island, for people, for residents and people that work on the island and are trying to stay on the island and work at the school, work at the health clinic. And so I just want to bring that one up too, is in the context of short-term rentals, there's also this kind of issue of affordability of housing on the island. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg.
Our short-term rental, I'm sorry, I'll step. Our short-term rental would never be a long-term rental. It's too small, it has an efficiency kitchen, and it can't be heated well in the wintertime. So, I mean, it doesn't affect the long-term rental situation at all. It's kind of apples and oranges. As far as ours is, now other people may be different, but for ours, it would never be a long-term rental. Couldn't be a long-term rental.
All right, going back, thank you, Lois. Going back to online, we have two hands up, I see, I'm trying to, but I don't see, can't see whose hands are up. Okay, Don Bailey has his hand up, and then we'll go to Shelby after Don.
Hey there, thanks. Actually, Ms. Welke said quite a few things that I thought were really perfect comments that I also wanted to bring up. A lot of the issues seem to be related to antiquated houses that don't actually have the opportunity to go through inspections when they're placed on the market. It seems like that actually would be a significant opportunity for Beaver Island to create more ordinances. I know there's been a lot of talk that ordinances are not really where people want to go. But in the case of those properties where there have been issues with the structures or, you know, electricity or whatever, if somebody's going to place a property for rent on Beaver Island, that does affect the reputational value of Beaver Island as a whole, especially if there are property issues to the point where somebody gets injured. So it may be worth looking into to actually have a requirement where if you're going to list a property, that property needs to go through an approved inspection by an approved licensed inspector. So I think there would definitely be value in that. As far as the reputational concern of people that are renting, for those that aren't going through Airbnb or things of the nature where they do already have an existing reputational component, you can still use some of those tools online to identify people that may be renting from you. And if those individuals don't have any reputational background and there is no island, you know, for lack of a better term, blacklist, you know, we've been throwing that term around. If there isn't any component where you can kind of identify whether that person is a part of any of those riskier groups, I think it may be on people to consider not renting to that person at all. And maybe somebody that has a more structured rental environment or one that uses more modern systems that can take more risk or has better insurance or whatever, maybe the person to take on a renter such as that. You know what I mean? So if you're in a situation where you have a rental that doesn't have access to a lot of, you know, those new, I'm going to call them technologies, just to lump them all in. But if you don't have access to all those more modern resources, it may be better to reduce your own risk and maybe even the island's risk to not take on those renters that may have that greater risk component. And so I think related to the fire issue, if most of these issues are coming up related to July 4th, I have not been able to attend Beaver Island for July 4th. I'm pretty new to the island, so you're going to have to forgive me. if there is a large July 4th celebration with a large amount of fireworks, that's awesome. If there isn't one, if that is, were to help satiate people's fire lusts, for lack of a better term, maybe that's something to look into too, especially with the growing amount of festivals and other social events that we have on the island. Those kinds of things may be interested in reviewing. So that's it. Thanks.
So Don, I'm so sorry. I missed what your intent was behind the July 4th fire issues. I think I was three sentences behind you. So could you share?
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. I'm talking fast because I don't want to take up a lot of time. But I just thought that it seems to me, from what I hear, not just in this conversation, but I've heard just around, you know, from gossip and people talking, a lot of the fire-related issues have been related to people setting off fireworks because they're just enjoying the July 4th celebrations. If there were to be more firework group activities, like an island-wide fireworks display, I'm not aware if there is one because I have not been able to be on the island during those months. But if there isn't one, if there could be one, that might actually reduce people's interest in setting off fireworks on their own. I don't know if there is a display currently. I don't know if it's a large one. We're usually in Harbor Springs or back here in Oakland during that time, but that's something to consider, I guess.
Yeah, there are two things. The first one is that there are July 4th fireworks here on the island. A fabulous job. And this year, islanders were actually trained on setting those fireworks off, which is a pretty big improvement for the island because we don't have to hire outside people to do that. I believe Shelby is one of those who was trained, is she not? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Shelby Harris is on the line as somebody who's trained for that fireworks display. And then the other thing I will share with you is we actually do have a fireworks ordinance that was put into place by both townships this summer, because of how dry it has been. The fireworks ordinance says no fireworks on the island other than at the times that are legally allowed as put forth by the state of Michigan, which off the top of my head, I stand to be corrected. I believe it's the 5-day period around July 4th. And I believe it's also the 5-day period, that is around the new year. Now that can be superseded and overruled by the Gaylord. If Tim McDonough, who's the fire chief, for example, contacts the Gaylord Office of the Fire Management for Michigan, even those dates can be reduced if it is such an extreme fire danger on the island. So what we run into is people bring their fireworks, which, by the way, it's illegal to bring fireworks and transport them by boat or plane. They cannot come to the island, but people do bring them. And then they're in the middle of the woods and we hear them going off. But those ordinances are in place, just so you're aware. Okay, Shelby.
Hey, guys. So I just want to say, you know, this is a great conversation. I think we found a lot of ground that we can stand on. You know, like we keep pointing out, everybody realizes that our rentals are a lifeblood of this island and they have been for generations. We don't want to move away from that. But I do want to point out that, you know, I think there was a comment that, you know, short-term rentals are mentioned in the master plan. They currently are not. Tourism was mentioned, but due to a lack of data, there was no consistent data source that we could gather that could give us even a beginning number of how many houses are on the island, and of those houses, who are short-term rentals, long-term rentals, first home, second home, third home. I would push that data collection along with communication should be part of our action plans. And same with the zoning ordinances. Yes, we have a lot of policing ordinances passed. There are a lot of health things already passed at the county level. But within both of our township zoning ordinances, we have no definition of a short-term rental. The closest that we have is for a bed and breakfast. But with the zoning ordinances being updated, you know, we can use other sources. Our short-term rental issue is a statewide, nationwide, you know, worldwide issue. So we can pull from a lot of different sources. I would suggest our Great Lakes Island Alliance group, as there are other islands within the Great Lakes area that have already started looking at this issue. We may be able to pull some ideas from them. And mostly with my concern beyond the safety and health that we've been talking about, such as the septic and the amount of people and inspections that I think are needed to properly manage our rentals on the island. We really do, like Greg mentioned, need to look at the impact of short-term rentals on our long-term rentals. We could all easily list half a dozen people right now that are struggling to find housing on the island to live here and provide for our community and the jobs that we need. You know, I've had multiple friends now just living here on the island full time 3 years have to move off because they can't find anywhere to live. That's no way to run our community. It's not sustainable. And as much as I'm for short-term housing, I do think there needs to be some kind of management plan. We need to have a definition in our zoning ordinances, and we need to move towards gathering data for our as a whole for our housing issues. And that's the only way I think that we are going to be able to have a answer to these issues. Because, I mean, we could keep going down rabbit holes of each, but big picture, I do think we need to get a hold on what our short-term and long-term housing situations are on the island.
Thank you, Shelby. Just so everyone's aware, I'm going to repeat it again. If you give your email address, I will gladly send all of the notes that I'm taking as people talk so you can read and review what was said and then provide further comments via email if you'd like. So if you haven't provided your email address and this is something you're interested in receiving, please make sure that you put that in the comments. Anybody else online? Can we get anybody online? We have, I'm just gonna see who hasn't spoken. We have Ron Wojan, we have Patrick, Jim Flanagan, Josh, Kaylee, Mitch, Chris, Billy.
So I this is Patrick. I did say something, but the one other thing that comes to mind is, and I don't know.
I'm so sorry. Your last name?
Riley.
Thank you.
The one thing when we talk about this being a real global issue or a U.S. national issue, the one thing I would keep even in just the back of my head with the economics of all of this is there does need to be some oversight. And I will say VRBO and Airbnb do help with that a lot because my wife and I, we rent out a house and we really strive for that 5-star rating because that's what gets people, that's what gets us to the top of the list and what gets us to have more renters. But when you look at, if we were talking a lot about new ordinances and a lot about new enforcements and a lot of new oversight, and that has to come from somewhere in a financial sense. And the one thing to keep in mind is I would consider myself more of a mom and pop style operation where we are a single group. We have one short-term rental that we want to eventually get away from so that we can live on the island. But if the cost burden goes up and you have to start offloading those, the interest rates are high, the economics of this is all, the people that have the money that can afford to do that are more of large firms. And that does ruin that piece of the island that we love. We love that it's small and it's single owned. If too much is put on those people that are like myself, that will shove it to be more of a national operation because those are the people that have the funds to work in that kind of environment. And that is the exact opposite, I think, of what everyone on this call really wants. So just exercising that caution and understanding that there's not just one effect. There's secondary, tertiary events that continue on with every decision we make. So let's just be mindful of that.
I have a question, and I hope it's not overstepping my own boundaries that I've set. But I have a question because I've heard it repeatedly. Your comment was, if costs go up, people can't afford it. And I know that, you know, looking at the STIPs are saying we've done, it's not a big rental, there's not a lot coming home. And I know you're saying the same thing. When you're thinking of costs, like I'm curious, like, what you're thinking in your head that this is, like, and the reason I'm hesitating is because nothing has been decided, right? There's no decision. But when I hear you say that, I'm like, what are you thinking? Like, what's the hesitation?
Well, I'll just share the financials of the business. It's not hard to figure it out. There's no secrets. When you say there's not a big profit in doing this, it's correct. On a great year, I make 8% of my money, 8%. I make 5.25% in my bank account, which means I'm really doing all this work for 2.75%. You add 1% burden on me, and I'm out. And now what Patrick just said is true. You're going to have national managers come in and take it over.
Now, so I understand the percentages you're giving me, and I understand it's private information on the journey, and I don't expect you to provide that.
You can figure it out.
Yeah. But so it's one of those things that you have to, like, you know, I just need to hear what's happening because I have to know. And what about you?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
So we talked about if the costs go up, if the boards decide in the end that there should be some type of management. Mm-hmm. Like I keep hearing if the costs go up, I'm like, what are you referring to? Tens of thousands of dollars? Or are you referring to, like, I don't understand.
A very small margin.
Razor.
That's not even counting maintenance or repairs or anything else. That's just on a good year. By the time you take taxes, and our insurance doubled this year on the property. It needs a new roof. I mean, it doesn't need it. It's not falling down, but it's going to need one. And there's
when we put that in there, we need a new roof.
Yeah, oh, my God, roof. I'm just saying there's expenses that everybody thinks you're making all of this money off of this rental. You're not. You're not. You're keeping your head above water. You're treading water, actually. And so when people say, well, you know, just lay it on them, well, you're not charging enough if you can't afford an additional tax. Somebody said to me recently, I don't want to charge more. I had somebody come to me and say, thank you for making this affordable for me to come to my father's funeral. I mean, that's heartbreaking to me. It costs a lot to get here. I don't want to incur another charge and then pass that on to somebody else. I don't want to charge more. And I don't, additional fees would force me to charge more. So, yeah, I am very cautious with additional fees, additional price of inspections of my property. You're welcome to look at my property anytime. It's clean. It's absolutely no safety issues. And that's because I'm terrified of somebody getting hurt on my property. And so I second guess everything. And I think most people who rent up here are cautious. Most renters are good. Of course, we don't have fire issues because we're in town. You know, nobody's going to set my gallery front yard on fire. So, we've had very few issues. We've had good renters, people who love our island and want to be able to afford to come to the island.
Ron. Did you say it's Don?
Ron Wojan.
Ron, hi, Ron.
Hi, how are you? I think it's all great conversation. I especially know how important the rentals are to my parents to be able to build a Harborview 2, et cetera. However, I have heard some comments, and I agree that we have to look at the bigger picture. And we have a new boat coming online that's going to allow many more cars to come to the island. I have witnessed firsthand a lot of the problems, and I've talked to friends and others who rent with these current issues about fireworks, quads, and everything else. And we better be careful we don't ignore these issues, because why is it that people will make the effort and spend the money to come 32 miles across open water to get to Beaver Island? Because they love it the way it is. And we are going to need to address these rental issues seriously, so that there's more governance, more enforcement by local law officials, additional ordinances if necessary, not to pull back the rental, but to protect the island that it remains the place that it is, and people are willing to spend that kind of money to come there. Because we let the VRBOs and so many additional, we can't even get the cars over to the island now that want to get there. My sisters were on the phone for all day straight, three of them, just to get their cars over around the 4th of July. And they're upset about it. And that's not the island that they knew or grew up in. So I think there's got to be a balance here between the emotions of you can't take away our rentals. But if we don't control the rentals, then you're not going to get the quality people for your rentals that you're looking for. So I see both sides of this issue. We need to take care of both sides of the problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Just one moment. Sorry. Okay, Lori.
So I think as we move forward and we think about our action plan, part of the conversation that's really not being talked about a lot now is the impact that short-term rentals or the influx of tourism has on the townships and the municipalities. And it would be interesting as part of the data gathering to get an analysis of that and to know, how much more does that cost us and how is that being paid for? Are local taxpayers paying for that, or is that something that, the visitors would work towards? But it is part of this conversation, because we are looking for more governance, or maybe we're not, but as we work on an action plan and we decide that, I think it needs to be part of the conversation of how much more, is going to be needed from local government, and how is that.
So when you say the impact on the townships, you're specifically, as I interpret that, talking about the strain on the infrastructure.
Yes.
Okay.
Wastewater.
So you're saying the roads,
more employees,
the wastewater,
trash,
trash. I'm sorry.
Healthcare.
What you said something else that I missed.
Trash.
I have roads, wastewater, trash, healthcare.
I don't know.
Enforcement.
Employees.
Employees.
Enforcement. My gosh, how much do you want me to work a week?
We're talking about a solution, and that solution doesn't happen without the partnership of, the community and the township.
Right. A partnership with the community and the township. Okay. Townships. All right. Thank you. Did you have anything else that you'd like to add? Okay, I wanted to do a time check here. It's 10:15. We have another group that comes in at 10:30. So we're going to have to wrap this up in about 11 minutes, and I'm going to have to hold tight to that time. I do want to share that you are welcome to email me again at keyingtownship@gmail.com. We have another session coming tonight at 6 o'clock, and I encourage all of you to come back and express your viewpoints to the individuals who attend that session, or listen in online so you can hear differences of opinions. I think it's really important that the conversation is ongoing and we move it as rapidly as we can. So if you come this evening as well, if we need another session next week and we can find a time slot, I'm happy to come back 2 days next week, capture data, capture information, just to keep it moving as quickly as we can. So yes.
I think Vic's been waiting longer than I have.
Vic.
I think one thing that's been
talk loudly.
That's one thing that's not been talked about this morning is the rumor of like the nightly room tax. I've heard rumors of that. I mean, we're a commercial enterprise rather than a residential enterprise.
Are you saying why wouldn't your hotel have a commercial room tax on it?
The rumor was that they were talking about doing a nightly room tax on all the rentals.
Oh.
So, I mean, ours is a little different operation than the homes that are rented because they're residential properties. Ours is a commercial entity. We pay upwards of $30,000 a year in just taxes. So it's, we have 16 rooms versus, their one unit. So it's a little different scenario. So that's something that needs to be thought about if they go that direction. Sorry, I know it wasn't mentioned this morning, but it has been mentioned. I've heard rumors of it. Could be just island rumor.
So when you take a bed tax that you're talking about,
yes,
and you combine it with Lori's comments, which were it's a strain on the infrastructure, I want to state, and Bobby, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, that, or Vicki, or Paul, a bed tax goes to the county. So if you put any type of tax on a short-term rental or a hotel, that tax does not help the townships with the infrastructure strain.
Goes to the County Convention Visitors Bureau, bring in more people.
Right,
so that's something to keep in mind, that a bed tax, a rumor of a bed tax, just so you're aware that.
Right, but that's what was brought up, and I just thought I would mention that.
Yeah.
Hadn't heard about it, so.
Just so you're aware, that does not solve, for example, the problem that Lori had just mentioned. They would go Charlotte County.
Yes.
Angel?
Just some points of clarification on that. That is a topic that has come up on the Chamber of Commerce over and over. And the way it is supposed to happen, if there is a bed tax, it is supposed to trickle through the county back to the, it's supposed to come back to the chamber to help fund some of this. Some of the reasons we've not pursued it at the chamber, one, exactly what you've identified, how do we get the money back to the island to help the island? And two, it puts an undue burden on the hotels when truly the most of the rental beds on the island are rental homes. So the hotels are carrying the weight of that. There's no good way to deal with that. That's, if that does happen, it's way beyond my generation. That's way down the road. Do you agree, Paul? Those are the high points of why the chamber hasn't really.
I'll be out in the cemetery.
Yeah.
We were down to 8 minutes, we're 7 minutes. I'm sorry, I need you.
My name is Beth Crosswhite.
Hi, Beth.
I think this is a great conversation. I think a lot of things have been brought up, but I want to give the other point of view. I had friends that want to come up next summer, and they started working on it last fall, and even though short-term rentals have been increased, they're still not enough. The boats are still packed, and you can't get your car over. The places are rented. So even though we're talking about trying to maintain what we have, there's still a need for more. And there's a lot of people that are coming here now. So we just need to be aware that we don't want to put too much burden that people won't reopen more.
Paul was waiting, and then Ed will go back to you.
I just wanted to thank you for setting this up. I think it's been very helpful to hear from other people. In reference to just what the chamber is, that short-term rentals are absolutely crucial to the island economy. And I deal with a lot of phone calls and emails on a regular basis on availability and what people are looking for. I just wanted to stress that I think important thing is education or information or branding. I think that the chambers worked really hard in the past 5 years to really have good content in our visitor's guide and on our website. And I think as much as we can collectively work together with the townships on getting really, really good information out there as to protecting our environment and being safe on the island. Those types of things are really important. This is consistently everywhere people are looking for information, they're getting similar messages and branding, and that will help. Well, then lastly, on short-term rentals, my main thing is safety. Whether it possibly holds updates, but sometimes I get phone calls back from people that come out of the house either on cleanliness or there's safety issues in the house. And then I just personally go back to the homeowner that has their cottage listed on the chamber site, and we have conversations about that. And I would say 90% of the time those safety issues are remedied, but there are a few that aren't. But I just think that's something that we have to continue to look at and see if there's ways that we can support our homeowners in making sure that things are safe. Because I hear that from the people that have that. Whether it's, it was a great house, but the stairs were, I was very scared about, So I think those types of information and safety are paramount.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Ed.
As Paul just said, the majority of the houses that are here being offered for short-term rentals are okay. But you remember a couple I brought to you last year. There's one person that owns two small cottages here on the island. One is on the south side of Kelly's Point. The other one is in the lower third of the acreage parcels at Western Shores. The one at Western Shores was built by this person without a permit, and it's 400 square feet, and it had no bathroom in it. And I have received more complaints from people that said, oh, beautiful log cabin, limit of four. And it's a single room and no bathroom. There's an outhouse. The same guy is the one that has the snake house on the south side of Kelly's Point. Short of licensing, inspections, and everything else, it could be a burden to the majority of the people. We should do something like we used to do years ago, but it would be probably a new website where we would encourage all renters to comment on their rental, on the house they were in, the area, whether the neighbors were nice, etc. If the house was as advertised or not, we used to say we had a limit of 8 maximum on any house, and there were only 2 houses out of 29 that had 4 bedrooms for 8 people to stay in. But if people come and find the house dirty, or there's not enough beds for the people, and they've advertised 8 or 10 people, a website that they could respond to that might be monitored by the Chamber of Commerce or some entity or group would then allow people to tell everybody, don't rent that house. Or they could go there and see the comments themselves.
Well, I have a question though, and this is just me coming from the whole branding and protection of the island and making sure things look good. If you stop it up front, then there's no negativity on the island. And that's just what occurred to my mind in the moment. If you, does that make sense? Like, why let that happen? And then there's all of these bad comments. There were snakes in my house, you know, like, It's just a thought based on what you said.
I don't know.
Like, be proactive instead of reactive, I guess is where I'm going.
There ought to be a place where renters could respond to whether they like their rental or not.
Yes. Yes. Or a Facebook page. Why a new website? Thank you, Ed. We have a minute and a half. Are there any final comments from online, please?
Could you give us your email again, please?
PiangTownship@gmail.com.
Not your name first?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Are there any further comments from online? All right.
Thank you for pulling this together.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Thank you. And are there any other comments from here? Nope. Really appreciate everybody who came out to have this conversation. Thank you so much.
Where's the list for signing up?
Hey, Paul.
For everybody who's still online, please feel free to attend the 6 o'clock meeting this evening. I appreciate your attendance and all your comments, and you can send further comments to me at patownship@gmail.com. Thank you. Enjoy your day.